Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is Tuesday night, right around 8 p.m. Eastern Time. You're listening live to Let's Chat Sports. My name is Miss Tony. You know, we come here every Tuesday evening around this time, but Jazz and I have been off for the last couple of weeks. And I can't believe we are at the end of July. But a lot is going on in the sports world, so we hope you guys are ready to talk about it. Tonight, as always, we're going to be talking all things sports. And Jazz will be pulling up into the studio momentarily. Looks like he done found the parking spot, people. Jazz, let me know when you're all settled. I'll bring you into the studio and we can get this show popping. Hey, Jazz, how are you?
Hey, what's happening, baby? What's the word? What you got? What you got, baby? What you got?
I was just welcoming everyone in this evening. You and I have let you know we have been away for a couple of weeks, but we are back. There's a lot going on in the sports world. Boy, and also, I can't believe it's the end of July already.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Time flying, for real.
It really is. So, Jazz, how's everything on your end of the universe?
Everything good. Can't complain, you know. Vacation went well, you know. Went to Boston, took in some sights, Took in some sounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's good. Can't complain. Word
mm-hmm.
up. I plan on going back.
Awesome. Oh, good. You know, that's always a good thing when you plan to go back.
Absolutely. How was everything in your neck of the woods?
Oh, everything is good. You know, it's always busy over here. That's one of the reasons we had to take off. But it's all good. You know, I stay
Ooh,
busy.
Nice, baby.
I'll be busy. I'll be busy after we get off the show. Had a class right
Absolutely.
Before the show. So, you know, we do what we do. So let's open this up. Yes. Talk to us. You know, we always love to open it up with boxing. We did a lot of boxing talk last time we were in the studio, and it was really informative. So what's new? What's been happening since we were last here?
Not really too much, and everything's been kind of slow a little bit. It's July, so
mm-hmm.
everybody's kind of positioning themselves for the fall. There was a UFC on this. There's another UFC, but well, you know, at this point, UFC comes on every weekend, seems like. So, you got Uriah Hall fighting this weekend, coming. Last weekend's fight was pretty good. Nothing really spectacular, you know what I'm saying? Just
mm-hmm.
in boxing, everything is kind of, July's kind of a, depending on, what's going on, is kind of a down. So, this month has been, we got some fights coming up. I just seen Canelo, Alvarez, and Khalid Plant were going to fight. They were trying to get a fight going in, I think, September, but they've broken off negotiations, so that fight may not happen after all. It was
mm-hmm.
announced just recently that Sean Porter will fight Terrence Crawford in September, I believe. It's coming up fairly quickly. That fight will be the make-or-break fight for Mr. Terrence Crawford because he hasn't
mm-hmm.
fought in probably 2 years, and Porter is always looking for a fight. And the WBO has now told Terrence Crawford, if you want to keep the belt, you need to fight Sean Porter. I'm excited
mm-hmm.
about that because that fight could have been made, and they're finally going to do it, so I can't wait for them to announce the date on that fight. And when they do, I will let you guys know. Other than that, you know, you got the Spence, Errol Spence, Manny Pacquiao fight coming up pretty soon. I think that's in, I'm going to say September.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, things are perking up by – in the next 30 days, things will be in full motion. So I can't wait. But I'll let you guys know as I find out, I'll let you guys know.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like a lot comes up like towards the fall. Maybe
yes.
they're taking some time off for the summer, which is understandable, you know, because there's a whole lot of other things going on in the sports world, you know, and every season has that sport that dominates. So we look forward to you sharing that with us. But last time we were here, Jazz, you know, we had been in the midst of the NBA Finals. So we do have a new NBA
yes.
champion, one that hasn't
yes.
won in about 50 years. What's your take on that?
Well, after game two, everybody was mm-hmm. basically handing Chris Paul a championship ring, basically.
So true.
And, you know, the fact that they didn't win another game and the fact that not blaming Chris Paul, but the fact that every game after game one, his scoring went down and his turnovers went up,
mm-hmm.
had me thinking, well, maybe all of this talk about Chris Paul finally getting a championship, maybe that was a lot of pressure on him. And I think that tonight, we will be mentioning the word pressure a lot tonight.
Mm-hmm.
As far as pressure on the individual athletes to put on a show that everybody
mm-hmm.
expects them to. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that maybe Chris Paul probably succumbed to the pressure a little bit. And
mm-hmm.
plus the second part of that is nobody on Phoenix could stop Giannis. Period.
Right.
Those are my two.
Yeah, it was like the beast had been awoken, you know, and it's kind of interesting that they didn't, the Suns didn't win another game after the first two home games. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't think a lot of emphasis has been put or placed on that because, you know, that everyone thought it would be the home court advantage, you know, that's the norm. You know, I don't know why, because any given game is a game to be won by either team, whether you are home or away, you know, and it shouldn't just be a given because you're home that you're going to win that game, as we've seen throughout the NBA Finals, actually. But while we're on the topic of Chris Paul, you know, there was, I feel, a lot of pressure not only from the fans, but also kind of from the NBA world because he's never won the championship. You know, this is the closest that he's gotten in his career. So a lot of people said, well, I do believe that he's Hall of Fame, you know, first ballot.
Oh, absolutely.
But do you feel that it takes away from his legacy because he hasn't won a championship? You know, that's been a lot of debate lately since the finals.
I mean, I don't believe so. I mean, I look at it like this. You know, you have several players who haven't won championships who you know, are in the Hall of Fame. I mean, George Gervin.
Exactly.
I mean, Pete Maravich, Charles Barkley, you know, not Clyde Drexler. The list goes on and on. I mean, Sidney Moncrief.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, so I don't think that you have to win a championship to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think that it deters from your resume. I mean, it's just, I think the ring thing is more of a fan / bragging rights thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I always remember when they always clown, when he used to always clown Charles Barkley. And he used to always be like, hey, Charles,
still
you know, there's a ring party, but you can't get in. Damn. So only rings get you into this party. Damn, Charles. And then I remember one time Shaq was like, yo, you want to borrow one of mine, man? I mean, I got four. You want to borrow one? You know, but now Charles rolls with it because he's like, yo, what? I mean, it is what it is. I mean, every era had their dominant team. I mean, there are several players who do not have rings because of a particular team. I mean, whether you're talking about the Bulls, or you're talking about the Celtics, or you're talking about the Showtime Lakers, whether you're talking, you know, the list goes on and on. You know, the dynasty of the Boston Celtics from the 60s, it goes on and on. So, I mean, I don't think it deters from your resume, but what do you think?
I totally agree. You know, I was listening to an interview a couple of weeks ago in the midst of the playoffs. I think it was Quentin Richardson, you know, and he was asking about this particular pressure on Chris Paul and the final results, how it would affect his legacy. And, you know, even he had his moments, you know. He had his moments in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that he said that stuck with me is that, you know, not a lot of people realize it's a team game, you know, not one particular individual is on their shoulders. And a lot of players can't even say that they're a champion. There's some great players. Mm-hmm. Like you said, there was a whole plethora of people that are great in the sport, but not that many have the luxury of saying I'm an NBA champion, you know.
Absolutely.
And even he said, I can't tell you what it feels like because I've never been in that position. You know, and he was keeping it real. But it doesn't necessarily affect your legacy because you know what you gave the game, you know?
Absolutely.
So I don't think it would affect him. Maybe he wants to be in that club that you just show a ring and get in. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a personal thing. But the whole team as a whole has to win the championship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, again, without you know, again, you know, like you said, it's a team effort. So you win as a team, you lose as a team. They could say Michael Jordan got 6 rings, but he wasn't the only one who was playing all those. He wasn't
exactly.
the only one playing defense. He wasn't the only one scoring, you know. So it's not the superstar gets the most accolades and also gets the
right.
most pressure and also gets the, you know, when you lose, they get the most ridicule. But it's still a team game.
Mm-hmm.
Still a team game.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And I want to, because I know we're going to, we're going to switch to Olympics pretty soon, but I wanted to just ask you a question, NBA related. Because
mm-hmm.
We hadn't even touched on the NBA coaching changes that happened in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wanted to ask you, how do you feel? What do you feel about the Boston Celtics, for example, elevating Stevens to be GM because Danny Ainge steps down? I think they possibly was like, Danny Ainge, you can step down and we're gonna fire you. But he steps down, Brad Stevenson takes his place, and then they hire. Udoka. From the Philadelphia 76ers. How do you feel about that? You know,
we briefly touched on the Brad Stevens, Danny Ainge situation. We touched on it a little bit, you know, and
yes.
I felt it was suspect. You know, it was either you're gone or we'll escort you to the door. But it was interesting because around the industry, Brad Stevens was on his way out as head coach of the Celtics.
Absolutely.
And now the next morning, president's role, the team president's role.
Yeah.
It's like no one saw that coming. You know?
Yeah,
no,
I definitely didn't see
that
coming. I definitely did not see it coming. Definitely did not see
that
coming.
That move got a lot of side eyes, yes, and it's not just here on Let's Chat Sports, but around
yeah.
the sporting industry as well.
Yeah, it definitely was a little sus. Yeah, I hate to use the word suspect because they make their own decisions, but the fact
right.
that he went from going from possibly getting fired to all of a sudden getting a more stable position as the GM of
yeah.
the organization. You know, that's
he's
definitely
running
a more stable position than a coach.
Yeah, now he's doing the firing. That's very interesting.
Exactly. And the hiring. Yes. So,
yeah,
and
that's
one more I want to ask
you
about. And I want
mm-hmm.
to ask you about, what about the Pelicans? Because some of these were, after we had, you know, took our hiatus and stuff. But what do you think about the Pelicans firing Van Gundy and hiring Willie Green, of all people, who basically played
yeah.
in the NBA, 2 years ago for the Clippers?
Yeah, that's another interesting
he's
move.
Just
and I feel like we touched on the Stan Van Gundy because of the player relationship with
yes.
him. You know, he's that old
yes.
school. I think we briefly
yes.
touched on that on another show.
We touched on that, him and the Zion miscommunication
right.
and da-da-da. And like I said, a lot of these, they hadn't had made choices yet. So we were still
right.
like, damn, who's going to get the Pelicans job? You know,
mm-hmm.
who's going to get the Washington job? Because that turned out
mm-hmm.
to be Wes Unseld's son. I didn't see
right.
that coming. I never saw that coming. That was one.
It.
I think we all was like, I think everybody was like this. Wes Unseld.
Yeah, another side-eye moment.
Okay. I can roll with you. I mean, you're in the middle of a rebuild. I'm assuming that you're going to trade Bradley Beal. So
mm-hmm.
you need a coach that's going to be part of that rebuild. And
right.
he'll probably be the perfect coach for the next 2 or 3 years. No pressure.
Mm-hmm.
See what you got. And then once we get moving and grooving, then we'll bring in the guy who's going to take us to the next level. usually the way it works. So makes sense.
I mean,
so
that's true.
Yeah, I mean, that's usually
that's
the way
true.
It happens, you know.
Right.
In most
but
cases.
But, you know,
in
back on
cases.
The Stan Van Gundy, it seemed like he had just gotten there and now he's gone. You know?
Yeah, he literally, he was there for a year. So, you know.
He literally just got there. And
well, you know,
Willie Green.
Yeah, well, I'll see what I mean. But again, if you have young talent, and they have young talent in New Orleans, you know, you want to bring in a guy who understands a player's perspective on things. You know what I'm saying? Willie Green's young enough where when you look, it's kind of like, you know what, I liken it to the Phoenix Suns and Monty Williams. He's young enough to understand today's game. And and he can relate to today's player because he played in today's NBA. Not the NBA of of the 80s and 90s or even early 2000s. You know,
right.
He played
era.
In today's NBA. Exactly. He played in the modern era where, you know, he could probably, you know, bring a little bit of insight into the game a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? In my belief.
True.
That's the only
that's
reason why
point.
I would think that you would, you know, you would, a guy with no coaching experience and you bring him in to coach one of the most valuable assets in the league right now.
Exactly.
You know,
you have such young talent and you want to have someone that's going to be relatable, you know, to try to keep them happy and not be bucking to get out of there at the first sign that they can.
Exactly.
You know? But on another coaching change, Jazz, that we hadn't spoken about because, you know, one half had been done but the other half isn't, is the Indiana Pacers. You know, Rick Carlisle, I mean, remember we spoke on it briefly that he had left, you know, the franchise after so many years.
Yeah, he left Dallas. Yeah. Well,
and
Dallas, he was pretty much over in Dallas. I mean, they couldn't go any further. Not with him. They couldn't go any further.
Right.
Now, you
seemed
know,
like he
so,
had been there a lifetime.
He was there for a long time, dude. Absolutely. But, again, you bring in Jason Kidd, a guy who more of the modern coach. You know, remember he got a ring being an assistant with the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody presumed that he was going to take over the Lakers. You know, he comes. Jason Kidd played in Dallas. Recently, I mean, not recently, but, you know, that was one of his last teams that he played with. It makes sense. You know, he has a good reputation in the NBA, depending on who you talk to. I mean, I like to hire, honestly. If Carlisle's going to leave, then Jason Kidd makes sense. That makes sense. And he learned a lot under Carlisle when he was there as a player.
Right. Exactly.
So I think that he could relate to Luka and the young talent that they have in Dallas. Well, really, you know, it all starts and stops with Luka. So if Luka likes
to be
there.
Right. That's what I was going to say. He can relate to them.
Yeah.
It's
going to
be interesting.
He couldn't go. Rick Carlisle had took them as far as they can go, honestly. That's what I believe. But I wanted to ask you, to switch subjects very quickly to the NFL. You heard about Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes.
You heard about what happened.
Him showing up to camp?
Yes. But you heard about, For those of you who don't, who are not aware, Aaron Rodgers was going to hold out. The Green Bay Packers said, we will restructure your deal. We will take a year off of your deal. And if you want to leave after this year, we will accommodate you either via trade or we will allow, we will not use a franchise tag to keep you. You can leave as a unrestricted free agent if you don't want to stay next year. So it's all on Rodgers. Then Rodgers said, yo, but guess what? I want Randall Cobb back. So the Packers are in the process, as we speak, of trading for Randall Cobb. And the Texans are willing to trade Randall Cobb because they are orchestrating the trade with the Chicago Bears so they can acquire Anthony Miller, which would then make Randall Cobb expendable. So Rodgers is in Green Bay for at least one more year, depending on what he decides to do. And that all just happened today.
I know. It's just, that's been such a must-see saga that's going on in Green Bay. And, you know, actually I was hearing today some rumbling about Odell Beckham Jr. actually playing with Green Bay. I don't know if you had heard that. You know, that I just heard that today. You know, and
yeah,
a lot of people were saying that, you know, he's on the market.
Well, you got to trade for him. That's the only problem is you got to trade for him. And I don't know what, because the Packers feel like they have a team to contend for the title, that I'm not sure what they're willing to trade to bring in Beckham. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to trade for him.
They'd have to give up a lot.
So that's the only thing about that. If he was a free agent or, you know, something like that, that'd be different. But for him to be, for him to basically, you know, be, because somebody will trade for him. I just don't know if Green Bay has enough draft or player capital that they're willing to give up to trade for him. That's the only problem.
Right.
So I
and with
would,
Aaron
I would
Rodgers
like to
only
see
being there
possibly
year.
For 1 year. Do you want to mortgage some things for 1 year? When you
for 1 year.
Depending on who you talk to, you still have the best wide receiver in the game in Devontae Adams. So I don't think that Beckham, especially if you bring back Randall Cobb, I don't think that Beckham moves the needle that much. I just don't.
Right.
I don't believe so. Not enough to give up
so play with what
some
you got.
Things that you may need for the future. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And
Green Bay is not a shoddy team. You know, it's not like they don't have talent. You know, it's not like
they're
not a contender.
So absolutely.
That's going to be it. That's something to keep our NFL eye on, you know, and also with the training camp that has started.
Yeah, everybody's viewing training camps, and one of my coworkers today, he comes in door, looking at Dallas training camp. Okay. I mean, the only thing I said to him was, remember, you're a Dallas Cowboy fan today. Come November, don't change and be a Seattle Seahawks fan. If you're Dallas now, be Dallas in November, because y'all are like chameleons. You're always a Dallas fan until things go downhill. Then, you know, y'all get the first thing smoking. Then y'all want to be a Buffalo Bills fan or a New England Patriots, whoever looked like it's going to win. So, yeah, just
like,
continue that.
Exactly. They're like, you know, when you turn the lights on, all those little critics start, you know, dispersing.
But so far Dak looks pretty good. We'll see what happens, but it's a little early to be talking about Dallas Cowboys Super Bowl contenders. Because remember, besides the fact that he's just coming back, is remember you still have to, for all of you Dallas Cowboy fans, you have to remember. Now that you have paid Dak Prescott, you have to fit that huge salary into the salary cap.
Right.
Which means that you may not have
affected.
A couple of guys in a couple of years, i.e. maybe Zeke. He may be expendable by then. too expensive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
But you know,
maybe,
Jazz,
you
every
know,
season, at the start of every season, the Dallas Cowboys are going to be champions. What season has not started where the Cowboy fans have not seen themselves as champions at the end of the season? Really?
You know, I mean, I have, I'm a Raiders fan, so it's been a while since my team has won a Super Bowl. But I've never seen a group of fans who are stuck in the early 90s, in the mid-90s, early 2000s. They're still stuck on the Jimmy Johnson era. Dude, that was a long time ago, bro. When dude talked to me about Emmitt Smith, I was like, yo. I looked at him, I was like, oh. You know Dallas Cowboy history didn't start with Jimmy Johnson, right?
Exactly.
He was like, man, you know, he said, man, I lived through the Tony Romo years. I said, dude, you ever heard of Danny White? He was like, oh, you talking about NFL Classic. Yeah, you need, if that's your team, you need to look up Danny White.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we'll leave it at that. So, yeah, he pretty much was like, yeah, he ain't really, well, he ain't talking much after that.
Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah,
you're right.
You know.
Well, you know, yeah. But while we're talking about the NFL, let's talk, and the pressure that we started off the show, let's talk about the upcoming pressure on the teams as far as quarterbacks. You know, there's going to be quite a few eyes on certain quarterbacks that are, I feel, are going to be under some pressure. And not necessarily just the rookies that are coming in.
Well, I'm not even going to talk about rookies.
You have some second and third year.
I'll say this now. And, you know, of course, the number one guy, but for me, Daniel Jones, of course.
Yep.
Kyler Murray. And the third guy is probably, right off the top of my head, the third guy would probably be Matthew Stafford.
Now, I'm interested that you didn't choose one. What about Jameis Winston? Do you feel that some pressure is going to be in? He's going to be facing a little bit of pressure taking over.
I think Jameis Winston, no disrespect to him, but I fully expect Jameis Winston to crash and burn like he always does. So for me, I would have to see it to believe it, and right now I don't believe it.
But it
so
seems
it's
like
not
so
even
much
a matter of him,
starting.
Him starting is one thing. Him finishing the season as the starter, I just don't think it's going to happen. Personally, I mean, I'm probably wrong, but I just in his history, like I said, the last time he fully started, he had 15. Touchdowns and 15 interceptions. What kind of shit is that? It might have been 15 and 30 for all I know. It was a lot of interceptions.
Goodness.
How about that? It was a lot of interceptions. I know that. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Sean Payton is going to put too many. I think at some point Sean Payton is going to be like, you know what? Yeah, we need to make a change because, you know, you're a little loosey-goosey with the ball. Always has been. So until I see differently, I'm not concerned about his pressure. He needs to worry about the damn pressure.
Yeah, that's
he
true.
Might lose.
Especially considering
Hill went 4-0, 3-1 when he started when Drew Brees was out. So he can. Now, I mean, of course, it was a very limited offense, but he won 4 games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
That's not nothing to sneeze at.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
but you know, Daniel Jones was in that list that you gave. You know, he's entering, I want to say, his either third or fourth season. But
well,
there's no excuse this season. You know, this is his fourth year now, right, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, He's in his fourth. Because after this year is when you get the guaranteed fifth. So that's
right.
why he's on the list. Because if you don't do well this year, then there's no fifth year.
Exactly, and that's where Sam Darnold found himself in with the Jets.
And ended up in Carolina. Absolutely.
Exactly, but with Daniel Jones, you know, he hasn't been very impressive, but. With all the new talent that was acquired on the offseason by the New York Giants, he should be able to produce. So he should be excited that the talent is around him. You know, they've gone out and gotten the pieces for him. So now
mm-hmm.
Daniel Jones has to work on Daniel Jones. You know, there's just no excuse. And we should see some production out of him this season. So that's going to be another interesting situation to keep our eye on. But you mentioned Matt Stafford. How do you see his pressure bubbling up?
Well, Matthew Stafford has, Matthew Stafford from Detroit. That's what I'm basing this on. Matthew Stafford has always been, for every good play he makes, he always makes, you know, the timely interception or what have you. Now, again, Detroit never really had a lot of talent around him. But Matthew Stafford's a little older. Matthew Stafford's a little set in his ways. And I just believe that he has that gunslinger mentality a la Brett Favre. But for the Rams, they need you to be consistent. And for me, that's the one thing that Matthew Stafford throws for a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns, but his teams normally end up 8-8, 6-10, 7-9, 4-12. So all of that you're doing is not amounting to wins. In L.A., they want wins. They don't want stats. They want wins. And on top of
that, that's why they brought you there.
And on top of that, Akers has already went out for the year, the running back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's added pressure right there. Because your number one running back just went out for the year. So I'm interested to see how Matthew Stafford handles. Because, again, in Detroit, Matthew Stafford always got a pass. L.A. not giving Matthew Stafford a pass because not only did you give up Goff, but you gave up a whole bunch of draft picks to get him. That's pressure.
That's right.
And he's aging. Because remember, Matthew Stafford, I don't know if Matthew Stafford has had a full season of 16 games without being out hurt. Maybe he had. I don't know. I don't have it in front of me. But I would say he's older, which means the injury thing is real. So that's why I think – that's why I put him on the list. So what would your list consist of?
Well, my list consisted of Daniel Jones with the Giants, you know, Matt Stafford because of what you just shared, Sam Darnold, I'm going to be interested in seeing how he progresses, you know, in his new home. So I got my eye on that. You know, a lot of Jets fans actually have. I think they're actually playing the Jets game one. And I know the schedule's out, but I want to say game one, if I'm not mistaken,
guys. It's game one. No doubt. It's game one.
What is the odds that the NFL gods did that on purpose?
It's the way it works out. That's why it's the NFL. That's why everybody watches.
So that is going to be interesting. And also Zach Wilson with the New York Jets. That's another one that, you know, I don't even think he has a backup yet. So he is a starting quarterback on day one.
Yeah, the Zach Wilson thing, Blake Bortles, the Packers just cut Blake Bortles. The Blake Bortles will go over there and be a backup. Find a backup for Zach Wilson is not a big deal. And Bortles could start. So, I mean, if you want to throw him into the fire right away, you can. If you want to let him sit a year, you can. Same thing with – and the thing with Darnold is again, the fifth year is, you know, he, you know, like you said, him, and if you want to mention him, you need to mention Teddy Bridgewater, too, because one of them
might
have a job, minimum. They both might not have a job, depending on how they end up. So both of
That's
them
true.
Got pressure, if you want to stay in the league.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah, especially if you're Teddy, because, you know, people were big on Teddy. You know, he should have, what he should have did, no disrespect, what he should have did was he should have stayed his ass in New Orleans and rolled that shit out instead of being greedy. But you can't tell cats what
to
do. But he should have stayed in New Orleans and not try and just buy the time, because you know Breeze only had a couple more years in him. Buy the
just
time,
a couple.
Son. Relax.
Just a couple. That's it. And it was right there for his taking.
Right there. But, you know, you want to start Carolina, you got the shit kicked out of you, and now Breeze retires, and now you're like, damn, I'm competing for a job.
Mm-hmm.
I could have been over in New Orleans chilling right now.
That's right.
Starting quarterback, New Orleans Saints. Throwing to one of the best wide receivers in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, I'm wondering if I'm going to even be in the league in the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wrong
with a solid,
career
with a solid home.
Yeah,
with a
wrong
home.
Career choice, son. Yeah, that wasn't a good career.
So true.
You need to fire your agent. You need to fire your agent, bro. Real talk.
Not fire the agent,
I'm available. Yeah, I'm available. Fire. I'm available. So I see we running short on time. We have to touch on the Olympics.
Yes, I wanted to touch on the Olympics.
We have to touch on the Olympics because
absolutely
the you know I didn't believe it when my man at work told me. I didn't want to believe it. He didn't.
Mm-hmm.
When he told me Simone Biles wasn't competing. I couldn't believe it.
I know.
Once I read the article,
that was like breaking news.
Yeah, once I read a couple of articles, I understood it because last night, and this is the reason why I understand it, because last night when they were a point behind the Russians in the team competition, they kept pointing out how many miscues Simone Biles had. The
mm-hmm.
step out of balance on the horse, the this, the that. They was like, yo, if she's on her game, then we make up the point and then some. So
mm-hmm.
when he was talking about it, he didn't mention Childs, he didn't mention Lee. He focused on the mistakes that she made only.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at that last night and I'm just like, damn. Going in kind of hard on old girl, you know what I'm saying? And the second thing is when the I think it was Tirico or whoever it was, when they said that Simone Biles said, right now, going to the gym is a struggle. And the reason why is because she said, every day when I wake up, something hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And she's only 24.
Mm.
I ain't mad at her. And the third thing is, when you are that young and people are telling you, you're the best ever, you're the GOAT,
mm-hmm.
you're the best ever, and mm-hmm. everybody's looking at you because right now you're down a point to Russia in the prelims. Everybody's looking at
mm-hmm.
you. What's wrong with you? How you going to make these mistakes? Oh, my God, the world's
mm-hmm.
coming to an end. I ain't mad at him. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
I need a mental break, y'all. I'm good.
That's
but
so
you,
true.
What
you know, and that's
point
how we,
about it?
You know, that's how we started the show, talking about pressure. And this young lady has
mm-hmm.
so much pressure. She literally has the pressure of the world on her shoulders. But you know something, Jazz, what's ironic is that the Russians weren't even supposed to be in the Olympics. You know, they had been banned
from
participating in the Olympics, but
mm-hmm.
there's Russian athletes competing. You know, so
well,
that's
well,
in,
remember,
in and of
they're
itself
not,
ironic.
But remember, they're not. If you look at their uniforms, the Russian flag is not on their uniforms. They're technically not representing Russia. That's why they call it an ROC. They're technically representing the Russian Olympic Committee.
Exactly.
The ROC.
But a lot of the sports pundits are kind of, you know, like the Russians have been proven over and over again to be such blatant cheaters. So why are they in the Olympics? And add to that. No, I'm not hating. It's just that if you're not supposed to be competing, you found a loophole to get into the Olympics. But as far as Simone, you know, I think one reporter had once asked her, when is your favorite part of a compete? And she said, when it's over, because then she doesn't have that pressure on her, you know. And I think that since, I would say, within the last couple of years, athletes have been more in tune as to how they're feeling, you know. You just have to take a look inside. And before this, we had never heard of people or athletes taking a mental break.
Jordan, before this generation.
You know, in that era.
Well, remember, okay, I mentioned this a couple times. I mentioned this story a couple times. And I'm going to always go back to this whenever people talk about it. Whenever people talk about pressure. Remember Thurman Thomas before the Super Bowl. I mentioned this before. Thurman Thomas said he had headaches. And they said, you're not playing because you got a headache? That's why you're not playing? Pressure. Now, it was a concussion. Still pressure, though. So even let's go back a little ways. You had Serena Williams. She said, I'm not playing. I need a mental break. Osaka. I'm not playing. I need a mental break. This generation will forever, they believe in, for my mental health, this show is not going on. No. I'm not going out there and endangering my mental health to put on a show for you. I'm not doing that. You know what I'm saying?
And that's what it boils down to.
Absolutely. That's all it boils down to. But it's encouraging that the fact that she chose to sit out the team events, and she said she may come back for the individuals, depending on how she feels. And that the most remarkable part of it is the fact that in today's society, not 20 years ago, not 10 years ago, not 40, not 50 years ago, they supported her. Whether they wanted to or not, they supported her because it's good PR.
Right.
Because the last thing you want to do is come out and look like you're a bully.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right. And you don't want to be accused of less than someone's mentality.
Absolutely. So whether they agree with it or not, everybody's going to stand by her in public. Now, in private, they might be like, that's some bullshit, dude. What the fuck, man? She don't need to be sitting out. Especially if she come back for the individuals. Because people could say she sat out because she knew that they couldn't beat the Russians. So she sat out. Especially if she comes back for the individuals. Oh, so you can come back to win individual gold medals, but because the team was behind, you don't want to take that loss with the team, though. Playing double.
Yeah, that's definitely exactly, and that those grumblings have already started.
Well, especially since I'm looking at the Russians, right now, and two of the Russians have already fell off the beam already. So it's not like they did spectacular. But the women,
right?
You know, Jordan Childs, Miss Lee, the other young lady who I'm sweating because she got on the Olympic team. She got on the Olympic team by working the circuit,
mm-hmm.
going all the way to the world championships and winning. I give
mm-hmm.
her props. Her and her dad, I give them props. So they got their time to shine now. Because this will be Simone's last Olympics. That gives them time to shine. But
right.
I don't know if, like I said, it's at this point, you really can't say, you know, anything against her. But
mm-hmm.
you know, like I know, there will always be grumblings about.
Oh, yeah.
Why now?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And now people feel she's in the prime of her, you know, that, like you said, why now?
Well, I think this is going to be her last one anyway, honestly.
I think so, too. It's just too much.
It's too much.
And on top of that, right, on top of that, with COVID, no fans in the stands,
mm-hmm.
no family there with
mm-hmm.
you. You know, all
mm-hmm.
of that weighs on a young
mm-hmm.
athlete. You know, they've
yeah.
never been in this position before. The world has never been in this position before, so
mm-hmm.
she doesn't have that
sure
support
indeed.
That's right there. So that also plays a role in it.
And here's another point. Remember, they're doing the Olympics 3 years from now to get back on schedule. So it's
yeah.
a short turnaround.
They're losing a year.
Yeah, so it's
mm-hmm.
a short turnaround. So for Paris, in 2024. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
a lot.
You know,
it's a lot.
Yes, it's a lot going on. You know, I would like, and one last thing I will say, as far as the Russians, because everybody's getting tested. If the Russians come
mm-hmm.
back clean, if all of the Russians test and they come back clean, I don't see a problem. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But you know why. But you know, you do know that they don't, the Russian thing is political because of the sanctions that President Biden put on Russia. That's
mm-hmm.
part of it. When he put those
but
sanctions on Russia.
But they have been found to be cheating, though.
Of course. I mean, they've been cheating since Ukraine in the 80s and 70s and all that. I give you that.
Mm-hmm.
But if
mm-hmm.
their athletes are clean, then they should participate. Absolutely, I don't see no problem with that. I mean, they're not
mm-hmm.
the only country that was. They're not the only country. You're not banning Germany. Germany was
mm-hmm.
cheating. Poland was cheating.
Mm-hmm.
You're not banning them.
Right.
Now I understand that you know the Russia is the evil empire and all that, but. If they come back clean, let them participate. What harm is it? If they're clean, everybody's getting the same test. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if they're proved to be clean, I mean, hell. Ben Johnson cheated in Canada. Hell. There's a couple of our athletes that cheated.
Mm-hmm.
Should we be banned?
It's
not understand. It's apples and oranges. It's apples and oranges, I know. I'm just saying. You know, if they clean, let them play. Now, okay. The fact that one last thing is I kind of, you know, I like the Olympics. I like swimming and gymnastics and shit. So did you see Ledecky lose to old girl from Australia?
I saw the replay because I've been busy. I literally stopped working at 1:30 in the morning the last
Damn.
Couple of weeks. So I've been, and with the time difference, you know, I only been checking,
yes.
you know, the highlights.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But that was an upset. Did you watch it live?
Yes. First thing is, old girl beat her in the world championships. So
mm-hmm.
everybody was like, okay, so this is Ledecky's time to get payback. Man,
right.
old girl sat right on her, she sat right on her hip. And then as soon as they turned for the last one, she was like, all right, I got you. Peace, I'm out.
Turn it up.
But.
Turn it up.
Did you see my man? Now, I will say, again, not rooting against the United States. I do not do that. but I like feel-good stories. And I like stories where the giant is taken down. And when they was talking about the United States have won the 100-meter and the 200-meter for the past 20-something years or the last 8, 10 Olympics, and da-da-da, going all the way back to poor school and some other cats, and da-da-da, da-da-da, and Ryan Murphy loses. Mm-hmm. Not only did he lose, but he came in third. Yes, and he lost to two British cats.
Uh-huh.
Yo, that, for me, was the upset of the night. Because that race was the one that the United States is suspected to win. Like the whole, like the team over, like the gymnastics team overall, the United States is expected to win.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said about this, Russia winning, it's the first time that's happened in, since, you know, it's been 30 years. Yeah.
Right.
So.
But you know something,
Jazz,
in addition to, you know, you want to talk about giants being taken down and the U.S. expected to win, kind of what happened with our basketball team, our men's basketball team.
Well, they have some hiccups.
When they lost.
But they lost to France,
I think when they lost to France. Right.
They lost, but you got to remember, Gobert, Patty Mills, Nicholas Batum, they all play on the France team. So it's not like they lost to Mongolia. They lost to NBA guys, too. They got, France got NBA guys, too. So,
but it's
yeah,
the first time
they
lost
should.
In almost 50 years.
Well,
they got to beat
still,
like that.
They haven't, I mean, one hiccup is fine. You know, they like I said, Durant, they got Durant, they got Lillard, they got Tatum. Every team is not a France. Now you just got to realize that, you know, in the medal round, you got to bust France ass. It's Dame time. Everybody got to do their thing. But I guess for me, I'm concerned. I'm not shocked because, like I said, a lot of cats on the France team play in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and Pop knows that. Like, I'm pretty sure Patty Mills is hitting threes looking at Pop like, yo, you know what I can do, man. Come on. I'm on your squad.
Right, like that's like Luka playing for his country. You know, he pretty much
exactly. Exactly. So, you know, and that's the thing about the NBA. The NBA – for me, is the only sport that is truly a global sport.
True.
Cause you know,
I agree
look,
with that.
Giannis is, you know, you got the guys from Africa. Giannis is from Greece, France, Italy. Cause the NBA, they recruit everywhere.
And some countries you don't even know of.
Absolutely. I mean, how many people, like Hakeem Olajuwon said, you know, when they was in Africa, they came and got him, Dikembe Mutombo, same thing. The colleges, they're going all over the world to recruit these guys.
Looking for athletes. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
So it's not just the USA.
So they're going to, absolutely. So they're going to, you know, Morocco and Cameroon and the like you said, the places where most people are like, the motherfuckers ain't playing basketball there. Like, yo, not only are they playing basketball, we got a 7-foot dude with a 9-foot wingspan that shoots threes.
Mm-hmm. They got trees walking around.
Absolutely, and that's the norm. You're like, yo, where'd you find him at? Shh, can't tell you that.
Yeah, and they bring him back over here and they groom him.
Absolutely. So that's why I think the NBA is truly a global. I think that's why I say I think it's a global. I think it's a global organization because they truly have players from everywhere, literally. Mm-hmm. But I am glad that the United States that they took silver. You know what I'm saying? But I do not. I do not begrudge Simone Biles for sitting out. I don't.
I support her.
I support her all the way, dude. And I know there are people who aren't. And I know people who are like, that's some bullshit. But again, off of that dude last night.
You have to feel good. Again, you have to feel good going into what you're trying to do, especially
if
at
you
that
watched
level.
It. Yeah, because if you watched it, she wasn't on at all. She was off. Her facial expression, you could tell she was off. She was off.
Right.
And you know, like what she said. She was like, yo, I'm off. I don't want to damage my I don't want to, you know, damage my team's chances because I'm off.
They could have went the other way.
We got girls who could take care of it. They're going to take care of it. But, you know, and again, I'm not always going to be here. So it's time to start planning for the future. Because I'm not always going to be here.
Let them shine. They earned that position there, so let them shine.
Let them shine. Exactly. Let them shine.
Exactly.
And considering she was mad young when she first started on her Olympic journey, yeah, she's 24, but she probably got the body of a 40-year-old.
Mm-hmm. All the pains and aches and everything hurts.
Absolutely.
Shut down.
Absolutely.
You know? And that's real.
I mean, you got to remember.
And for an athlete,
this is the same.
How can they?
How could they what?
How can they compete feeling that way at that high level?
Yo, absolutely. Yo, this is the same young lady. I remember her when she first got on the Olympics. The only thing she did was floor. And she would literally do flips. She was the first one to do the flips all the way across, then back across. First one to ever do it. I was like, damn, who the heck?
Amazing.
So, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean,
she's been in the game.
She's been around for a while. Let her have a do.
She's been in the game.
She got she go with my man. With my man from Houston, Texans. She got a whole life now. Let her go live her life.
She's in a position to do what she wants to do at this point in her life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But now,
so we hope you guys have enjoyed
that. I have one more question real quick.
Before we wrap up?
Yes, before we wrap up, I have one more question. Does Daniel Jones make it?
This season? What do you mean make it? Does he improve?
Does he make it? Does he get a new deal? Does he make it? Or are y'all going to be looking for another quarterback in 2 years?
You mean his fifth-year option?
Yes.
Well, this upcoming season, it will shed light. Just like we shed light on Sam Darnold, it will shed light on Daniel Jones because there's no excuses this season. You know, the pieces are there. The Giants did what they had to do to surround him with the talent and the pieces that he needed. And now the season will reveal itself. So we shall see. That's a situation that we should keep our eyes on.
Okay. I figure Gabe's happy now. You know, she got your take on Daniel Jones. She should be happy now.
Yeah, we will definitely see about that.
Okay, cool.
So we hope you guys have enjoyed Let's Chat Sports this evening with Mr. Jazz and myself. It was good. It was revealing. It's been a minute since we've been in this mode, Jazz, but it was good to come back to.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure, baby. Word up. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And thank you for, you know, sitting through our hiatus, and we will return, real talk, next week.
Absolutely. And we want to thank everybody for listening to our replays, Jazz. You know, we so appreciate you. Those replays mean
Absolutely.
The world to Jazz and I here on Let's Chat Sports. So thank you so, so very much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Real talk. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So everyone have a great evening. Enjoy the rest of the sports week. And we will be right back here next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Have a great evening,
Word.
Jazz. Take care. Stay safe.
You too, baby. Hey, and everybody, hey, watch out for Corona. still out there.
It's out there. Mask up.
Word. All right.